all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Oh, welcome to Looking Black. My guest this morning is Bruce Dixon, editor of BlackCommentator.com and managing editor of BlackAgenda.com, joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning to you, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing better than a whole lot of folks.
All right now. I'm wonderful. So much stuff. So much stuff out here. What's caught your eye and your ear and your attention?
Well, what caught my eye is I'm from Chicago, although I live in Atlanta, Georgia now. And
mm-hmm.
What caught my eye is a couple of weeks ago, the city council in Chicago passed a living wage for Walmart, for what they call a big box ordinance,
mm-hmm.
that would require all the big box stores to pay $10 an hour by 2010 and $3 an hour worth of benefits.
Okay.
And this amazingly passed the city council in Chicago after a whole lot of grassroots mobilization. Daley threatened to veto it. It was his first veto in 17 years as mayor, and he vetoed it this week. No, he vetoed it last week.
Last week.
City council 2 days ago failed by 3 votes to override his veto.
Mm.
Three councilmen switched their votes.
Mm.
And I believe 2 of them are black.
Mm.
I haven't been able to find out who the 3rd one was yet.
Mm.
My source didn't call me back this morning.
Mm. But
3 people switched their votes, and so it failed to be overridden.
They could have changed the world.
It would have been a very, very big thing, and all the right-wing and business-oriented newspapers and blogs are hopping crazy about this. They're saying that this is a triumph of free market economics, and these liberals don't know what they're talking about. This
and can
this
I just
really tells you what they mean by liberal too.
And can I just ask a question? Please, can you explain to me how the free market system is working out for us? How we doing out here? You know, I mean, how are we doing out here when businesses have to pay for health care and other industrial countries don't make businesses do that?
I don't know how we're doing, but Walmart is doing just great in the free market. There's a study that's a couple of years old now, put out by the people at Good Jobs First, that says that 91 stores at Walmart got $245 million in subsidies that they were able to find. Okay, 91 stores got $245 million in government money, okay, Now in Georgia, here where I live, they actually passed and the courts overturned a rule that said that counties and local jurisdictions that gave businesses like Walmart money wouldn't have to reveal what they did, didn't have to reveal the deals that they did. And the, and they actually passed it into law in Georgia, all right? So now it is already common practice for counties and cities and local jurisdictions and states to give out money to favored businesses and not tell anybody what they've done.
But to put it into law in America.
Well, hey, I mean, this is America, and it's the free market.
There you go. That's the free market stuff. That's
so
free
market.
They're doing great. We have to take a quick break here, Bruce. This is Liz Brown. Looking Black is the show right now, and I'm talking to journalist Bruce Dixon. He is the editor of BlackCommentator.com and the managing editor of BlackAgendaReport.com. Joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Aquí está, lo que estabas esperando, la nueva Radio Mix. Sintonízanos todos los domingos de 6 a 8 de la noche, a partir del 3 de septiembre por WGNU 920 AM. Entrevistas, eventos y la mejor música para ti. Radio Mix, la nueva de San Luis.
Want to help local charities and not-for-profit groups? Want to have a great time doing it? Then head down to Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey in Tular this Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. for a party on the patio. Every week, a different organization receives a portion of the proceeds and all the tips that their volunteer service can bring in. There's a featured drink each week, free hors d'oeuvres, and live music. Summer fun and helping others has never been so easy. Party on the patio with Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey all summer long. This week's party benefits nurses for newborns.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers. And we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Looking Black. The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, and Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call and the Looking Black. My guest journalist this morning is Bruce Dixon, the editor of BlackCommentator.com and managing editor of BlackAgendaReport.com, joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. So, Bruce, what else has caught your eye out here?
Well, By the way, I'm the former editor at Black Commentator.
The former editor at BlackCommentator.com.
We've cut that cord, and we're going to be Black Agenda reports starting later on this month.
Very good.
But another thing that caught my eye is really two or three things. In PG County, Maryland, PG&PE County, Maryland, is represented, which is an all-black county in the two mostly black counties in the D.C. area, were represented by a guy named Albert Wynn, who's a notable DNC guy who voted for the war, one of the few black representatives in Congress who voted for the war. And he came within a hair of being upset by Donna Edwards out there. And Donna Edwards spent something like one-fifth of the money that he had.
Wow. Wow.
And Donna Edwards campaigned stridently against the war.
Wow.
And against this black man's right-wing positions. And she came within, it looks like she came within 2 percentage points of it.
Wow.
One-fifth of the money.
And this is a two-year race, so she'll be back.
It is. Oh, without a doubt.
She will be back.
Without a doubt. And in Minnesota, elected its first black congressman, Keith Ellison.
And a Muslim.
Yes. And the first Muslim in Congress.
There
yeah.
you go.
Black man and the first Muslim in Congress. He's he's from Detroit, and he said he converted to Islam at Wayne State University when he was an undergrad there.
And what is so interesting to me, Bruce, if we can talk about this particular race and candidate, I heard, it's so interesting to me, I listened to an interview with him, and they said, well, you know, you have said some things that have been brought up during the campaign. You have these statements about, the controversial statements about reparations. And I'm listening to it, so what would be controversial about reparations?
Well, in the heads of some white folks, it's
just saying the word. Just saying the word.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. It seems like it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much for some folks. That the really notable thing for Ellison's campaign that I've been hearing is that now I've been a campaign operative. I've been a deputy campaign manager and a field guy and everything. Most of your consultants, most of your campaigns, they go after the people who they call likely voters.
Right.
Voted the last four or five times. Ellison did the opposite. He waged a registration campaign.
Mm.
He registered the voters who don't normally vote.
He went Harold Washington on them.
Yes, that's exactly what he did. Thank you. I'm from Chicago, too.
Okay, I knew you'd know that.
All right. Yeah. Well, he did exactly that. He registered thousands of new voters, and he also went to the immigrant communities, Somalis and other folks, and he concentrated on the folks who are deemed not likely voters, and he made it work for them.
Wow.
And that takes a real grassroots effort.
Yes, it does.
That's that old Wellstone kind of work.
Absolutely. And I think that also one of the things that what we need to do then is to watch him after he wins to see if that's the base that he continues to build upon. Because I remember when Barack Obama was running in the primary, okay? Barack Obama came all the way to East St. Louis. He was going places where nobody who ran for the United States Senate had ever been before. Lots of these black areas out in Edwardsville and in East St. Louis and all of that.
Carole Zebron didn't come down there?
Pardon?
Carole Zebron?
No, she did not. No, she didn't. No, she hadn't. No, she hadn't. No, nope. So Barack was mining votes because people came on the show and talked about nobody had ever been and touched our hands and talked to us. Now, after he won the primary and then got into the general election. You know, baby, remember my name. No, did not happen like that. Did not happen like that. So it'll be, so I think that's always, you know, I guess, what is that, the sophomore slump? You know, you look to see it.
Well, in Barack's case, Barack is campaigning for vice president.
Vice president.
Everybody knows it, okay?
Vice president.
Since 1993, okay, the people close to Barack Obama have had a plan that he was going to run for statewide office in Illinois and then afterwards for vice president. That's been the plan for 12 years now, 12, 13 years now, and this is where it is now.
And Barack Obama believes that that will happen.
Well, I can't say what he believes anymore because I haven't had many conversations with him in the last few years, mm-hmm. but him and the people around him have believed that since about 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been in the plan and in the career plan for a long time with him. You know.
Interesting.
But he's been moving to the right ever since. That's what his mm-hmm. advisors and his people tell him, is that he's got to support the war, he's got to do all this stuff, and he's adapted magnificently to that.
Oh, it truly is a wonderful adaptation, so much so that I heard out his mouth in the wee hours of this morning, the Republican who Barack Obama ran against is now saying, he's a wonderful man. I think he should be president of the United States.
Well, hey, and so he'll be a perfect fit for Hillary.
Think that America, I mean, I've been here for a little over three decades, okay, and I a little bit of time here. Does anybody think that America is going to vote for a woman for president and a black man for vice president?
I think that if there are no choices to the left of them, that they'll get a lot of votes.
I don't know, Bruce. I believe race trumps all, and what does race doesn't trump, sexism does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you there.
I mean, because I just
don't think it's a good thing though, because although they are a woman and a black man running, they've got the same stands and they bring the same stuff that these old white guys do, and so what they're going to be is they're going to be sizzle without the steak.
There you go.
You know, they are essentially both faking the funk for real.
Yes, they are.
That's going to be the thing that's most damaging to all of this, that lots of people of goodwill are going to line up for them
mm-hmm.
and be disappointed. Just like in 1992. 1992, I mean, for those of us who are old enough to remember all that stuff, was shortly after the fall of the Soviet Union. And when the Soviet Union fell, the Cold War was over, people were talking about a thing they called the peace dividend. They said, well, we ain't got to be at war no more with anybody. We're going to be able to redirect all this money to education and mass transit and, you know, lowering CO2 and maybe even universal health care. And Clinton actually ran on that. Bill Clinton ran on that. And, of course, once he got in, you know, the first thing he was concerned with was passing NAFTA. And then the Republicans took over the Congress in 1994, and it was all over. You haven't heard about a peace dividend since then.
No. And the other piece of it is that I sit back and I marvel at Bill Clinton. He really thought that he was, and I think he and Barack Obama have the same separation from reality, that they both thought that they would be considered members of the club. Bill Clinton thought that he was going to be taken in the same way that George Bush was taken in, the same way as all the white male presidents before him. And what he didn't recognize is that you would always be considered a barefoot boy from Arkansas. Okay, your mother, all of that.
Child of a single mother,
all of that kind of stuff. You are a barefoot boy from Arkansas, and if you had any illusion about being a member of the club, look what they've done to your legacy.
Yeah.
And Barack Obama, I think, is suffering from the same illusion that somehow he is a member of that club. Bill Clinton wasn't. How would you be? And you need to act accordingly that you're not a member of the club instead of pursuing your membership.
Yeah, well, at least he can have tea with Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm. Tea with Warren Buffett and then have, what's his name, front him. John McCain front him. And then you roll over and show your belly.
It's just very sad.
It's
just very sad. And I was there at his victory party at the primary elections.
What was that like?
It was, the faces, now, like I said, I'm from Chicago, and I've been a long-time activist in Chicago before I moved to Atlanta, and I was deeply involved in the Harold Washington campaign. I had never seen so many of the same faces from the Harold Washington era in one room in 20 years as I saw at that party. Those people there at that party believed they had elected an anti-war guy. They believed that, okay, because that's what he had been sold as. You know, that's what he had been sold as. They believed that they were going to, they believed they'd elected somebody who would uphold the legacy of Harold Washington and who thought like them and was going to put their stuff into action. And I guess they've been severely disappointed.
Mm. This is Looking Black. I'm talking to Bruce Dixon, the former editor of BlackCommentator.com and managing editor of the Black Agenda Report, BlackAgendaReport.com. Joining us from Atlanta, Georgia, Bruce Dixon. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by tonight's Billy Graham television special. In both directions, Illinois 157 and Horseshoe Lake is closed for police to reconstruct an accident and expect delays and try to find an alternate route. Northbound 55 at 44, there's a disabled vehicle in the right shoulder. It's being removed by road crews. There's heavy traffic near Arsenal in the right lanes approaching that area. Eastbound 78K and 79, traffic congestion going on there. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way to Merrimack River Bridge, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 40 from McKnight through Hanley, look for heavy volume going on. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley, look for slow traffic. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays, especially in the two left lanes approaching near Tudor at westbound 5570, and then the two right lanes near Route 3 as you approach downtown. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is very heavy on the bridge all the way into Cleeds Landing. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Billy Graham, tonight's Billy Graham TV special. Today's culture seems to wait at every turn to tempt our teens. Don't miss the real-life struggles of three teenagers and what made the difference for them in tonight's Billy Graham special at 8, only on KMOV Channel 4. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly sunny, patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, a high in the mid-80s for this evening. Mostly clear with a low around 60. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy by the afternoon. Chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 56 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Looking Black is up next with Bruce Dixon. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only Black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed are you going to get your washer, your dryer, your refrigerator, your stove, everything that you need, 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. You need to get your shop on. Get on down there. I know you need a generator. How about a leaf mulcher? How about a lawn mower? How about everything that you need to make your house, your home into a palace? Come on now. This is Liz Brown. When you get on over to Sears and get that wonderful customer service from Jerome Williams, you tell him, I told you to.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believe them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believe them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. My guest journalist this morning is Bruce Dixon. He is joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. He is the managing editor of BlackAgendaReport.com. Bruce, welcome back.
Thank you, thank you.
And so what else has caught your eye? Can I talk to you? Can I talk to you about the upcoming midterm elections?
Oh, please.
Can we talk about that in terms of what's going to happen, what your predictions are, what you think?
Well, nobody's asked me for a prediction on that. The problem with the midterm elections is for the Democrats is actually the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee,
mm-hmm.
is headed by a fellow named Rahm Emanuel from Chicago, who is a notorious racist right-wing Democrat. This guy can't get along with the Black Caucus at all, and he basically funds pro-war Democrats, and he shies away from anti-war Democrats. So what you're having there is you're having a set of Democrats running on a set of issues, but they're going to be running away from the issues that people care about. So if it's based on just the polls, if it's based on, you know, the polling numbers about, you know, people's dissatisfaction with the Republicans, yeah, they're way dissatisfied with the Republicans, but if Democrats don't present anything different to them, then that's going to imperil and impede their chances to win. And if they win in the House anyway, then it's still going to be a big, big jump towards it making much of a difference.
Because you're saying that if pro-war Democrats are elected into the majority of the Democratic Party and therefore the majority of the House, what's going to be different?
Yeah, well, not necessarily the majority, but if the anti-war Democrats are quashed, which is exactly what Chuck Schumer has done when he's recruited Senate Democrats, and exactly what Rahm Emanuel has done when he's recruited House Democrats. I mean, you have to do think back when the authorization to go to war was passed, a majority of Democrats voted against it. Okay, that's important to remember. A majority of Democrats didn't vote for Bush's war. And perhaps today a majority of Democrats wouldn't, but a sizable minority of them would have voted for it and still would today.
Mm.
And that's the tendency that this minority of the Democratic Party that's supported by big business, that's the tendency that is in control of the funding organs and the leadership of the Democratic Party. That's where Hillary is, that's where Rahm Emanuel is, that's where Chuck Schumer is, that's where Harry Reid is.
And that's where Nancy Pelosi is.
And that's absolutely where Nancy Pelosi is. Nancy Pelosi has had meetings in her district, and her district has got to be one of the most left-wing districts in the country. It's in the middle of San Francisco. You know,
second only to Barbara Lee.
A second, well, yeah, perhaps second only. Well, I'm talking about white districts.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
You know,
okay.
But in Nancy Pelosi's meetings for the last 2 years, she hasn't dared allow people to ask unscripted questions. The only way you can ask a question in a Nancy Pelosi public meeting now is to pass it on a card up through a moderator. You know, so that way unpleasant questions and questions get screened out that she doesn't really want to answer.
I read a troubling thing on the blogosphere. Bill Clinton met with a bunch of left-wing bloggers, and I see a black face in the group. But what was troubling to me was Bill Clinton also in that meeting had Hillary Clinton's chief communications person and Hillary Clinton's blogger person, because you know they're looking at the things that have really had an impact on Hillary Clinton and really had an impact on the Ned Lamont race in Connecticut, and they're trying to Clintonize them. You know?
Yeah, well,
take the teeth out of it.
Hillary and Bill are a team, and they've always been a team. You know, in the second place, the Ned Lamont thing has, well, look at the race that Hillary just won.
Mm-hmm.
The anti-war candidate, I think his name was Ticini.
Yes, Ticini, John Ticini. He was
John
on my
Ticini,
show.
He mm-hmm. had, you know, he had a fraction of Hillary's, you know, financing, something like, you know, 100-1, okay, but he won 15% of the vote.
How did he do that? And the other part that was so interesting.
And he was kept entirely out of the media.
Absolutely. I have never seen such a shutdown. They even changed the rules of the debate. They said, well, no, you have to have a certain amount of money before we're going to let you debate somebody.
He said you had to have money and you had to have standing in the poll.
But he got the standing in the poll, then they changed it to the money. Because, I mean, they said, was it 11%? He ended up with, you know, he got 12%. They said, well, no, you need money, too. Because if there had been a debate.
He finished with 15%. So, will vote against the war, and people will vote against Walmart. People will vote for a living wage.
15%.
For universal health care if they get the chance. But the key for Democrats, for establishment Democrats, like Hillary, like Barack, is to make sure they never get the chance.
And the other piece of this is that we looked at what the bloggers did with Ned Lamont and Joe Lieberman. They were on it. MoveOn.org, they were on it, putting money, putting attention, doing commercials. John Ticini asked them to do the same thing with Hillary. And they said, well, no, well, you know, I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, MoveOn. We've got to remember what Move On is. Move On is five people in a room somewhere in D.C. Okay, Move On is not a mass organization. It may have, all the decisions are made by five people in a room.
There you go.
Okay, it's that simple. And thousands and thousands of Move On members nationwide and in New York asked them to poll the membership of Move On as to whether they should make an endorsement. Make an endorsement or at least do straw pollings of their own membership in New York. And they absolutely refused to do that.
Hillary got them.
Yeah.
Hillary got, and when they had that whole, I forgot what the name of the event was.
Well, she got the five people. She got the five people in the room.
There you go.
That's who she got.
There you go. There you go. So, what's your evaluation of the Ned Lamont, Joe Lieberman race?
Well, Ned Lamont is really a pretty conventional Democrat, except for his stand against the war. He's a, you know, he's pretty much a conventional Democrat. I mean, we got a, you know, he's not Harold Washington, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he is against the war, and I guess sometimes we got to take what we can get. The Ned Lamont thing was just a situation where people got to express their real will. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the general election where Joe Lieberman gets to run as an independent, and you've got the Republican, you know, the outright Republican. That looks like anybody's race to me.
And the other piece of it is that the Republican candidate that is running is polling at the lowest that any Republican has ever polled, somewhere to 2-5%. The Republicans are saying that he's been endorsed by Newt Gingrich. That the Republicans are putting money into his campaign, and the independents and the Republicans right now they're saying that the polling is putting him ahead.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard.
And you know, and shame on the Democratic Party for not being able to get him out.
Well, that's the way we've stacked our deck here. We've stacked our deck in favor of money. You know, there's one party, really, and it's the party of money.
Mm.
And you can call them Democrats. Think about it this way. The only way that you can get to be a legislative leader in the House or in the Senate or in any state legislature is to get lots and lots of campaign contributions. The way that you get to be Speaker of the House in Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, California, or any state or the federal Congress is to get more campaign contributions from corporations than anybody else. Mm. That's how they elect those guys, not who has the best ideas, who has the most corporate money.
Mm.
That's how you get to be a Senate leader or a House leader. That's our system.
Mm. Listen, folks, this is Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. My guest journalist this hour is Bruce Dixon. He is the managing editor of BlackAgendaReport.com, joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. The Secretary of the Air Force says it might be a good idea to test non-lethal weapons such as high-powered microwave devices on unruly mobs in the United States before trying them out on the battlefield. Secretary Michael Wynn says using them on such test situations domestically might help avoid questions about their safety. Wynn's thinking is if you're not comfortable using them on American citizens, then maybe you shouldn't be using them on other people either. The Air Force has been funding research on non-lethal weapons, but may not go much farther with them until safety issues are addressed and resolved. He says the Air Force has to cut its spending by about $2 billion because of the most recent round of base closures. The Air Force is already planning to do away with 40,000 active duty airmen. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Oss, Treasurer.
It's another wake-up call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, baby, just to hear you speak makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen upon her throne.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this hour is Bruce Dixon. He is the managing editor of BlackAgendaReport.com, joining us from Atlanta. And, Bruce, what else? What else? I mean, this whole election piece that, that's happening in November. In terms of changes on the horizon for people of African descent, what do we have? Kwesi Mfume lost the race.
My mind, that's almost a good thing.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you have to understand what the word was when you may remember when Kwesi was moved out of the NAACP,
mm-hmm.
was that he was trying to get close to Republicans.
Mm.
Okay. Now, I guess I'm an unabashed partisan, you know, that way. I mean, if I've got to have, if I'm going to be messed over by some right-wing politician, I'd rather have him be white.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
because there's not a double hurt there.
Yeah, and that's the way Kwesi was going. You know, that's the way Kwesi was going. I mean, I personally and politically, I'd like to see Harold Ford go down too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are the polls saying? I would really like to see Harold Ford go down because that's a scary a man that made his.
If you think Barack Obama is a disappointment,
yeah.
If you think Barack Obama is out there on the right wing, and Barack, I mean, all of his every bad thing, every criticism that he has to be made, he makes it of other Democrats. He doesn't criticize Republicans. And all the Democrats that he criticizes are never to the right of him. They're always the Democrats to the left of him.
Mm.
But that's nothing compared to Harold Ford.
Harold Ford made his own grandmama white.
we ran that story.
Okay.
We ran that story. He lied about his own grandma being white. That's so sad. But back to the Democrats in Congress, even if they do take the Congress, and maybe the Senate, I mean, if they were really about the business, they'd be thinking impeachment. They'd be talking impeachment.
They would be talking impeachment.
They'd be running on impeachment, but they are not.
And the other piece of it is, too, is Nancy Pelosi going to John Conyers, the honorable John Conyers, the reliable John Conyers, the dependable John Conyers, who was at the head of this, and saying, no, take it down, we ain't talking about that.
Yeah, yeah, that speaks volumes for where these Democrats are. They are determined not to play their strongest hand, but to play their weakest hand. So let's suppose that the Democrats did get in. Let's suppose it's December 1st right now, or I'm sorry, let's suppose it's February 1st, and the new session has just started. They're not going to consider impeachment. What are the strongest things that they could do? And what would happen? Well, some of the strongest positive things that they could do is John Conyers has had this bill. Well, no, let's not go there first. Let's go to the Employee Free Choice Act. According to Department of Labor statistics, once every 13 minutes, somebody's fired for talking about a union on the job. And those are the Department of Labor stats. Actually, the number is really, really much higher. Right now, it's all but illegal to organize a union. That's why union growth in the states has stopped, not because people think unions are passe, but because the deck is stacked. You'll just get fired for talking about a union, and although that's illegal, no penalty will ever be assessed against your employer. Well, there's a bill in Congress called the Employee Free Choices Act, which will be reintroduced in the next session. The Democrats could pass it, maybe. But what happens if they do pass it? You know the president is going to veto it. And do they have enough votes to override a veto like that? Heck no. They don't. Okay? What about another great thing that they could do if they had the majority in Congress? John Conyers has been talking about achieving universal health care by simply extending the umbrella of Medicare to everybody, to all citizens, children, and all the rest of us. But if the Congress does pass that, do you think the president will hesitate to veto something like that?
The universal health care thing would not only would it be a wonderful thing if it was passed, but even in the absence of its passage, we have a couple more years left of Boy George. The Democrats could use that the veto of that, and every Republican that voted against that as a means to get a veto proof Democratic majority in the House and in the Senate. Those are things that you that are tee-ups that you set up for the upcoming elections. Get them to veto that. Cool. Then run on that forever. The idea that every American could have their own health care and businesses wouldn't have to pay for it anymore. That would
sound
be a.
Like you want to fight about it.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I
want
to fight.
You can't be a Democrat. Wow. You can't go to Congress like that. Sorry. That's not going to happen.
You know, I mean, that would be a wonderful thing.
We all do. And if they had that attitude, then this would be a different country and maybe a different world. But they don't. We live in the real world where the folks who run the Democratic Party, they don't want to hear that stuff.
And Cynthia McKinney.
Yeah, we were down here with Cynthia McKinney in Georgia. Cynthia lost. I don't know. I don't like to talk about it too much, but you know, if they had done a better job organizing, then they would have won. The reason that they won, I mean lost, had less to do with her positions than with the actual way that her campaign was run. However, the right wing will skew that differently. They've been saying, and they will always say, that the reason Cynthia lost is because black people in suburbs are tending to the right, that they are through with this civil rights kind of stuff, that they want to vote like white people and think like white people. Well, I think the races for Congress in New York City, where, what's the name, Yvette Clark or Yvonne Clark won, where Donna Edwards nearly won in PG County, Maryland, and where Keith Ellison won in Minnesota, disproved that.
Mm-hmm.
They proved that you can win with a strong left wing and anti-war position in a black district.
Mm.
That it's really, really doable.
So what's Cynthia going to do?
Well, you need to have Cynthia on the show and ask her.
Because there aren't any, there's no talk out there in terms of what's going on with her, where she's going to go. Is she going to run again or anything like that? There's no talk.
Well, there's talk, but if your name is on the door, it's in the end your decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably, it may be too early for her to have made a decision like that. I mean, I've asked her, I'm sure lots of people have asked her what she's going to do. I've asked her.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't got no answer yet.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean she doesn't know.
Right.
So have her on the show and ask her.
I certainly will. I say that. What? Well, of course. I'd love to have her on the show. So we have about four more minutes left here, Bruce. What else? What should be our final thoughts as we look towards this election season for those of us that are on the left, unabashedly on the left, living my life as a liberal? Okay, what should we be looking at?
I want to say pray, you know, but even they're even discrediting that. I heard you already talked about the Pope stuff, so I don't even want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But these folks have made this a kind of religious crusade for a lot of us. I think what we need to be doing is we need to be talking to our friends and our relatives who are still under the influence of some of these things. I've got friends. I've got family members who go to church every Sunday and spend half a day in church.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are really, really hearing this right-wing propaganda is infiltrating into our black churches. In Illinois, you've got a guy named, what's his name, Meeks, there in Chicago. Of course, you're in St. Louis, who was talking about running for mayor, and he's been talking about running for governor, and actually, what he's doing is he's been out there gathering signatures on petitions against gay marriage in the black community, you know. And you know, so what you've got really is you've got an effort from right-wing churches and Bush's right-wing religious thing to infiltrate the black church. And I think that that's something that we've really, really got to pay some close attention to, and we've really, really got to look to counter it. You know, that's just something that we just should not allow to happen.
And that has to be our last word, Bruce Dixon. I can't wait for a Black Agenda report.
Yeah, I hear you're going to be doing something with it.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm very excited about that.
That's going to be fun.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And a little later this month?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know what? I want to have you all back to help with the kickoff of it because I think you all rock. You all got that. You are a must read. So everybody needs to be putting that on their agenda.
And you're a must listen to in St. Louis anyway.
All right. Across the world too now. Don't forget this is streamed. Okay. Folks all across. You can listen to us. And you were listening this morning. As you were listening this morning. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
All right. And this is Liz Brown. I will be back in the next hour. Much, much more to talk about. Stay with us.
The progress is healing the wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. Help me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Ford is slamming the brakes on thousands of jobs. On top of the cuts, it's already announced. Here's ABC's Dean Reynolds.
The company has just announced that it intends to reduce its non-union salaried workforce by a third. That would be 14,000 salaried workers in North America who would be offered early retirement or voluntary separation of some kind.
Now, the cuts may seem drastic, but auto industry analyst David Cole says the company really didn't have a choice.
It's big, it's fast, and it's absolutely necessary. It is the way forward on steroids.
How bad is it for Ford? The company says it doesn't expect to make a profit in its North American operations before 2009. President Bush holds a news conference later this morning. The White House isn't saying yet what he'll talk about. You can count, though, on the president getting some questions about a bill that was upheld yesterday by the Senate Armed Services Committee. It protects the rights of terrorism suspects held in the U.S. Arizona Senator John McCain, who was a POW in Vietnam, says he's not the only one who supports it.
I'm hearing from military leaders all over the country, retired people, including General Colin Powell, who say if we take the administration's measure, we'll put young Americans' lives at risk. That's very serious.
Three other Republicans on the committee voted in favor of the bill. If you have bagged spinach in your refrigerator, bag it. It could be tainted with E. coli bacteria. More from ABC's Elizabeth Leamy.
Sales of bagged spinach have been increasing 17% a year. A spokesperson says our industry is very concerned. We're taking this very seriously.
Federal health officials have recalled the product nationwide. At least one person is dead, and dozens in several states have gotten sick as a result. Authorities in Green Bay, Wisconsin say they foiled two teenage students' plans to attack their high school in the nick of time. A search of the boys' homes found bombs, guns, ammunition, and suicide notes. This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
He said what? Some recent comments about Muslims by Pope Benedict XVI are getting a lot of attention. Some say they were biased.
Careful to stress they were not his words. The Pope quoted an early Christian emperor saying, "Show me just what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread by the sword the faith he preached." Now, the Vatican has stressed the Pope's respect for Islam, but that hasn't been enough so far for many Islamic leaders who say that the Pope's words were very, very offensive. They're demanding an apology.
ABC's Linda Albin in London. Parents, give yourself a hand. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says more of you are making sure that your kids are getting the necessary vaccinations. For the first time in a decade, there's no real difference based on race or ethnicity. Attention gamers, Nintendo's new Wii system is going on sale November 19th. Go figure, just in time for the holidays. It's little, about the size of a large paperback book, and it costs about $250. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Tanker Ferencmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, it's unclear when all of the residents around the scene of a train derailment in Salem, Illinois, will be able to return home. About 20 cars, including some that were carrying potentially hazardous chemicals, jumped the tracks near Salem shortly after 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. The derailment shut down a stretch of I-57, and residents in a half-mile radius were evacuated as a precaution. No injuries are reported. Two men are charged with a series of burglaries in the Wildwood area. 34-year-old Larry Harris of Jennings and 25-year-old Sean Servilian of St. Louis are each charged with 5 counts of burglary and 5 counts of stealing. Police say the two men burglarized 5 homes around Wildwood in April and May. Servilian is in custody in St. Charles County on unrelated charges. Harris is still at large. Finally this hour, a group of social workers think Missouri Senator Jim Talent is guilty of legislative child neglect. The group discussed these claims outside the St. Louis Family Courts yesterday afternoon after reviewing his legislative record on child welfare. Social worker Bradley Harmon cites some examples.
He voted to cut over 7,000 children in Missouri off of the Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program, to cut services for Head Start. And then Callant voted to drastically cut federal support for child support enforcement.
Harmon says the group is certain that the family court in St. Louis is busier because of Talent's record of voting against the interests of Missouri children. Talent's office has yet to respond to these allegations. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play the Illinois Lottery's Mega Millions game. Friday's jackpot is $163 million. Pick up a ticket today. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Have fun. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local REMAX office. Westbound 270 at Newhalls Ferry and West Florissant, there's an accident, left lane's blocked. Westbound 70 at St. Charles Rock Road and 270, look for an accident reported on the shoulder. Westbound 70 at 270, look for a disabled tractor trailer reportedly on the exit ramp, so expect delays. Northbound 270 from Gravois through 44, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass to Merrimack River, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Northbound 170 at Del Mar and Olive, heavy traffic due to the earlier road construction work. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow all the way from the gravel pit into Laclede's Landing. And westbound 5570 slows near the left lanes at Tudor and the right lanes at Route 3 as you approach downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your local REMAX office. Looking to buy or sell a home? Search with REMAX at REMAX.com. They have millions of listings and outstanding results. Visit them today at REMAX.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies. The high will be in the mid-80s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low around 60. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy or partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day. A chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that this is a show that is streamed at WGNU.net. Also, it is archived hourly at WhiteRoseSociety.org, where you can also iPod the Wake Up Call. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z Brown. Much business to tend to. We have a much business to tend to. We talk constantly on this show about the political environment that we find ourselves in. It is very clear that the state that you find yourself in is a direct result of the political environment that exists in your community. We talk about elections all the time. We have an incredible and a crucial election coming up here in the state of Missouri. Jim Talent, incumbent Republican, George Bush fan, and Claire McCaskill, a Democrat. We have important races that are coming up. We understand aldermanic races. We understand senatorial races. We understand representative races. One of the things that we don't have an opportunity to talk about much here, because most of our judges are not do not run for office. We need to talk about other states where judges are running for office. And we need to take a look at what is going on around the country with judges. state Supreme Court judges. Ours are appointed. It's not true in Alabama or Georgia or Kentucky or Oregon or Washington. We need to talk about that. And to facilitate that conversation, joining us this hour will be James Sample. He is the Associate Counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice. This is a critical issue because, again, the environment that you find yourself in is a direct result of the politics of the community that you live in. And the people that will be making, I know this as an attorney, that the decisions that come down from the court systems that exist in your communities determine, well, what kind of water you're going to be drinking. The decision that just came down yesterday about the voter ID bill, or what is known locally as the Jim Talent Protection Act, that it was struck down by a court. And they said that no, you know, that's not how you're putting unconstitutional burdens on people just trying to do the American thing of voting. The environment that you find yourself in is a direct result of the politics in your community. We need to talk about this, and we will. James Sample, Associate Counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice, will be joining us in just a moment to facilitate this conversation and to allow us to have a discussion about the 2006 state Supreme Court races to keep your eye on. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Meet some of the Midwest's top psychics, healers, and vendors at a Celebration of Spirit Holistic Expo this Saturday, 10 to 6, or Sunday, 11 to 6, at the Holiday Inn, Highway 157 in Collinsville. Admission is free. For more information, call 618-236-5883.
Aquí está lo que estabas esperando, la nueva Radio Mix. Sintonízanos todos los domingos de 6 a 8 de la noche a partir del 3 de septiembre por WGNU 920 AM. Entrevistas, eventos y la mejor música para ti. Radio Mix, la nueva de San Luis.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November, and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back. Hello, morning. This is Liz Brown. Let's talk about the 2006 State Supreme Court races to watch with our guest this hour, James Sample, Associate Counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice, joining us from New York City. James, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Very good. All right. So now we have to watch other races out here, too.
Well, that is absolutely correct, and you are certainly correct and we're correct in your introduction that Missouri is actually one of the states that is not as accustomed to watching those races as many of the other states around the country are. Missouri has actually long had a plan known as the Missouri Plan, which many states around the country have actually modeled their system around the system first adopted in Missouri, where there's initially an appointment followed by a retention election later down the road. But many states, that's not the case. And what happens is you have judicial candidates running for office against each other in races that appear to be almost identical, and in some cases, because of the stakes involved and the nature of the issues, actually, even apart from the concerns about an independent judiciary and all of that, in many instances, those races around the country are nastier, costlier, and more divisive than the races in the legislative and executive context.
And you've made the statement that this may be a watershed year for judicial elections. Why is that?
Well, over the next 6-7 weeks, Supreme Court justices in 16 different states will face contested elections. In 5 of those states, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, and North Carolina, a majority of the members on the state's highest court will be on the ballot. That's a rather substantial number of candidates in states where potentially the entire state judicial branch, or at least the highest court in the state's judiciary, is up for grabs. And so interest... Well, go ahead.
We had a similar situation with our school board here in the city of St. Louis. The law was subsequently changed. There was one election where 4 people were running. We're not supposed to run as a pack, and with 4 people on a 7-people board, if those 4 people are running on the same things, then they effectively will change the makeup of the school board. They will control all of the votes. So they changed the law so that saying that never again can 4 people run at one time because for just that reason.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, the staggering of elections is something that we are certainly accustomed to in the United States Senate, for example, where, you know, there obviously every year in the House, or every 2 years in the House of Representatives, each seat is up for grabs, but there is a stability that goes with the staggering of elections, particularly with the highest body of a particular branch of government, which the Supreme Court of a particular state obviously is.
So let's talk about Alabama. Mm-hmm. Lay it out for us, what's happening in Alabama.
Alabama has been, in my opinion, the most remarkable state to watch this year in terms of judicial primaries. And by most remarkable, I mean most disturbing. Mm. It has actually been long one of the leaders in terms of costly political judicial races. But this year, again, it is breaking its own spending records. In the Republican primary, and that's really where the action is in the Alabama judicial races, it's really in the Republican primary. Most of them go on to gain election in the general election. You had 6 candidates and 1 interest group that combined to spend $2.7 million just on television advertising alone. To put that number in perspective for people, that's a 59% increase over 2004. That is an extraordinary jump as a percentage matter in terms of the sheer volume of television advertising.
For judges.
For judges.
For judges.
Yeah, that viewers across the state and voters are witnessing. And so.
And this is a statewide vote.
That's correct. And so what you had is, you actually had sitting justices of the Alabama Supreme Court running against each other in one particularly intense race for the seat as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. You had a Supreme Court Justice by the name of Tom Parker running against the incumbent Chief Justice, a gentleman by the name of Drayton Nabors. And the advertising that occurred between the two of those individuals, mind you, again, I emphasize, judges sitting on the same bench on the state's highest court was extraordinary. I mean, there was an advertisement that featured a photo of a hand holding a knife and visuals of newspaper coverage over a murder, and where there's a voiceover saying that thanks to Chief Justice Drayton Nabors in the Alabama Supreme Court, a murderer is now off death row.
We need to make this point. Is this person on the street, or is he simply off of death row?
He's off of death row, and what in the even further point that is almost more salient is that that particular case was a case in which Justice Parker was recused. He was not sitting on the bench that decided that case because he had been involved in the prosecution of this criminal defendant originally. So he wasn't in this case. He went to the editorial pages. He went on the television airwaves criticizing the entire Alabama Supreme Court, which had decided a case based strictly on a U.S. Supreme Court decision that they were required to follow that pertained to the criminal sentences of individuals who were subject to the death penalty for crimes they committed while they were juveniles. And this was an extraordinarily straightforward application of binding U.S. Supreme Court precedent that had changed between the time of the defendant's conviction and sentence.
He was a juvenile.
Correct.
And most nations in the world do not execute juveniles. And the Supreme Court said we're not going to execute juveniles. If he was a juvenile when this occurred, then you follow the Supreme Court law, and that's what you do.
That's correct. You're absolutely right about it. I mean, you talk about most nations around the world. One of the things that has long made this nation the light on the hill, if you will, is the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And the rule of law goes out the window when the system is, when the apple cart is upset by people who don't want to play along by the procedural rules.
And we're talking about judges, aren't we? We're talking about, James, we're talking about judges.
That's absolutely correct. And people can disagree with the decisions judges make, and they do disagree with the decisions that judges make all the time. But one of the most fundamental, consistent bedrock principles of law in the United States is that there is an order, a hierarchy that is followed, and when the U.S. Supreme Court makes a ruling, ultimately, even if you disagree with that ruling, it's to everyone's benefit that the ruling and the hierarchy is respected. It's the rule of law. Without that, we run into a whole range of other problems.
And to underscore that, if I'm understanding this right, James, the campaign in Alabama is that we shouldn't be following the United States Supreme Court precedent.
You're not misunderstanding it at all, Liz. In fact, when you referenced the school board race there in St. Louis, it made me think about Alabama immediately because in the primary, there was actually a slate of candidates who were running on the same platform of positions that were essentially following along with a religious right position that, they were going to rule in particular ways, and they certainly were not advocates of the separation of church and state. And we're not weighing in, I'm not weighing in on the merits of their particular positions so much as it is a real cause for concern when candidates, and in that case, particularly an alliance of candidates, a slate.
And if they all won, they would be the majority on the Supreme Court.
In this case, I don't think the slate would have given them enough to have a majority, but certainly they would have been a substantial block, and they could have formed a majority with other sitting justices. Mm. And so, the real crucial point, though, is whether or not we want to select our judges based on the positions that they're promising to take on controversial issues,
as opposed to following the law.
Exactly.
Can I ask a question about that commercial that was played of a photo of a hand holding a knife? What color was the hand?
Liz, that's a good question. The whole advertisement is so ominous and dark. I don't know the answer off the top of my head to that question. It is a good question, though, and
especially in Alabama.
Of course.
And the other piece the point I'd like to make before we have to take a break here, Alabama is not exactly a place where they spend a whole lot of money on their citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the child mortality rate, the amount of people that are in need, the amount of money spent on health care. They don't spend a lot of money. So to me, it makes it even more glaring and even more problematic that we're in a state that spends so little money on its citizens to know that they have spent $2 million on television advertising.
That's a very good point.
We're going to take a break. We're talking about 2006 state Supreme Court races to watch all across this country. My guest is James Sample. He's the associate counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice, joining us from New York City. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the NFL on NBC. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry in West Florissant. That accident's been cleared. Westbound 70 at the 270 off-ramp is reopened after a tractor-trailer has been cleared. Northbound 270 at 70 disabled vehicle reportedly in the right lane. Eastbound 70 at Cade and 79, there's congestion going on there. Northbound 270 at Gravois all the way through 44, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from 270 to Hanley, stop-and-go traffic in pockets. Westbound McCausland to Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays this hour as well as delays into the King Bridge. That's due to the downtown rush. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the NFL on NBC. This weekend on NBC's Sunday Night Football, the NFC rivalry heats up as Washington Redskins take on the Dallas Cowboys in their home opener. Week 2 of Sunday Night Football, Sunday on NBC. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 60. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of showers, high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
All the way to the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed are you going to get washers and dryers and refrigerators and stoves? How else are you going to make your home into a palace? You're going to get on over to Sears, that's right, at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. You need a leaf mulcher? You need a lawn mower? Come on, get on over to Sears. I know you have a Sears card. Get on over there. Say hello to Jerome Williams. Experience the best customer service in the state of Missouri. That's right. The only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis, 3425 Union Sears. Where else?
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
This is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believe them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believe them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
All that I know. Got something within me. Oh, 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 oh yes. Something within me. Something within me. That vanishes me. Something within me, Lord, that I can't explain at all. All I know, I thank my God, I've got something.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This morning we are having a discussion about the 2006 State Supreme Court races to watch. My guest is James Sample. He's Associate Counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice, joining us from New York City. James, so when is this election in Alabama over? When will the decisions be made?
Well, the primary has now already occurred, and the election will occur on the same day as the general election around the country, mm-hmm. In November.
And in terms of race, does race enter this race at all?
It's a good question, and one I'm not. It's hard to say. I think that the candidates themselves have.
Do we have any black folks running? Or any?
I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that, so I'm a little hesitant to say. But mm-hmm. my recollection is that the answer, at least certainly in the Republican primary, which is really where the contest is, as I said earlier, the answer is no.
And in terms of the Democrat versus Republican component of this, how does this work? Is it like an any other election that the Democrat will face off against the Republican come November?
That's correct. And it varies from state to state. Some states that elect their judges in contestable elections as opposed to what I referred to in the state of Missouri, for example, as retention elections, where a judge runs with the notion of he or she just facing an up or down vote. We'd like to retain this judge or we'd like not to retain this judge. And in the vast, vast majority of those races around the country, the answer is that voters would like to retain the judge. But in contestable elections where it's one candidate versus another or one candidate versus multiple others, some states run in nonpartisan races, and i.e. races where the candidates are not expressly tied to political parties for the very reasons, and that's a decision that some states have made based on the considerations of judicial independence and all of that, that you don't want a candidate to run as a Republican or a Democrat such that they might ultimately feel indebted to the particular party in some way, shape, or form down the road, particularly to the extent that the parties or their proxies often appear before the courts. But in Alabama and in many other states, the primary is a partisan primary. You run as a member of your particular party, and then, as you say, the Republican faces off against the Democrat and any other independents or third parties.
You mentioned that in Alabama, the Democrats are not spending that kind of money. What does that translate into as in terms of a heads up? I mean, in terms of Democrat for heads on, I mean, Democrat versus Republican. Are the Democrats going to be spending that kind of money in the general election?
I don't believe so. I mean, the general sense that I get from media accounts in Alabama anyway is that if you make it through the Republican primary, you are in good stead to do well in the general election
okay.
and generally to win.
Okay. Now, let's move on to Georgia. What's going on in Georgia? Was it a little different in Georgia in terms of who's trying to have influence on judicial elections?
That's right. In Georgia, as in many races around the country over the last number of years, the battle is shaping up really along business interest versus plaintiff lawyer lines. And so the business groups have been by far and away over the last, you know, 5-6 years, or probably the last 6 years in the last few election cycles anyway, business interests and trial lawyers have been two of the biggest, if not the biggest, constituencies in terms of outside interest groups putting their money forward in judicial races. And the reasons for this are obvious. They're not necessarily it's not something that it's not a trend we'd like to highlight in a positive way, but the reasons that they do this are obvious. They perceive in particular candidates to be more favorable to their particular interest, whatever that may be, whether it's corporate defense or whether it's the vindication of the rights of the plaintiffs that the plaintiffs and trial lawyers represent. And so what happened is that Georgia has really taken off in terms of the degree of interest that business groups are showing in the race. They are trying to create a court that's friendlier to business interest. And the Chamber of Commerce in Georgia, which consistent with the efforts of the National Chamber of Commerce, has really, really entered this race and in a big way in terms of money that Georgia has not seen in the past.
Kentucky
is obviously a state where very close to Missouri, where you probably have listeners, and certainly people who go back and forth between the states, and they are a state that is really one to watch this year based on the sheer volume of races that they're going to see. All of the state's 267 district and appellate judges are up for election this year, and 5 of the 7 Supreme Court justices face elections. So all but one of those Supreme Court elections is going to be contested. And you've asked about the issue of race in Alabama. Race is certainly something that is on the minds, or is certainly something that has been in the news with respect to the Kentucky judiciary in the last few months, as they now have the first African American justice on the Kentucky Supreme Court.
But he got there through an appointment.
Correct.
So he is now up for election.
That's correct. Justice William McNulty is running against Judge Ann O'Malley Shake, who would become the third female justice in the court's history and the only woman currently on the court. So it will be. They were the two highest vote getters in the primary, and thus they're going to face each other again in November, and that's expected to be a close race. There's also been a fair degree of sort of what I certainly would consider troublesome and troubling campaign activity in that state that is, apart from the sort of the notion of sheer statistical money and advertising and all of that that we're seeing in other states, Kentucky is one of the examples of what happens when the campaigns themselves really, really go down into the mud. And we have seen tactics there. It's all based on media account. These are the type of things that are difficult to track, but they're...
But what are they saying? What are some of the things?
Reportedly, Justice John Roach's campaign this year conducted what is commonly referred to as a push poll against a circuit judge by the name of Mary Noble. And push polling, as you're no doubt familiar with, is a campaign tactic where essentially telemarketers call and ask questions that are not so much questions in the way they're phrased as they are means of disseminating inflammatory and sometimes false information about a particular candidate under the guise of conducting a survey. And
we had the same thing happen in a senatorial race where there was a white candidate that was running against a Muslim candidate, and there was a push poll conducted saying, "Are you aware that she's a Muslim?"
Yeah.
That type of a thing.
Yeah, it's really not how any push polling is a technique that, frankly, it's a bit off topic for the show, but perhaps today, but it's a tactic that should be rejected and denounced in all sorts of races, but it is particularly unbecoming in the judicial context. Put a little flesh on this skeleton. You know, some of the people who were surveyed on this push poll reported that the pollsters, and this is a judicial race, mind you, asked questions that were clearly designed to insinuate that Judge Noble is a lesbian merely because she's been married for 38 years and has no children. They asked about how people felt about her, quote, I'm quoting here, attributes, end quote, including that she's, quote, soft on crime and that she, quote, feels that judges can create laws if the legislature has failed to act, end quote. And it's just the type of activity that is... It frankly has no place in an independent and impartial judiciary.
Now, are the races in Kentucky Democrat versus Republican? Are they nonpartisan? How does that work?
I'm not actually sure. In this case, it's a question. I believe they're nonpartisan, and so the individuals run in a primary, and then the top vote getters in the primary face off against each other in November. So you have the scenario where Justice McNulty and Judge Shake ran, and because. And the primary essentially functions in a way to narrow down the field, but not necessarily narrow it down by party nomination.
And we're going to finish up this conversation when we come back. I'm talking to James Sample. He's the Associate Counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice, joining us from New York. And our topic this morning is the 2000 state Supreme Court races to watch. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Dateline Kabul. Word out of Afghanistan this morning that the Taliban have taken control of a district headquarters in the western province of Farah. This comes after several days of heavy fighting with Afghan security forces who became overwhelmed when reinforcements were unable to reach them. This is causing concern about a possible new front being opened up on the western part of the country as hundreds of well-armed Taliban fighters have been active in that region this week. There are currently about 1,600 NATO forces in the western region of Afghanistan. And Dateline Lagos. Oil workers in Nigeria are staging a three-day strike because of security concerns at oil installations in the Niger Delta region. The workers want the government to take more steps to protect them from attacks and abductions by armed groups in that area. One worker was killed earlier this week when an attack was staged on a supply ship. A spokesman for Exxon says the company is trying to maintain normal levels of production during the strike, but two major terminals have had to stop loading tankers. Nigeria is the largest oil producer in Africa, but its output has dropped by 25% due to attacks by local militant groups as well as leaks in pipelines. This is your wake-up call global news update. State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeVon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Oss, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My discussion this morning, this hour, is with James Sample. He's an associate counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice. He's joining us from New York City. We're talking about the 2006 State Supreme Court races to watch. James, what about Oregon?
Oregon, Liz, is an example of really the sort of the national trend that judicial elections are now interest group battlefields. We talked in general terms about states around the country where judges face election. 87% of the state judges around the country face some form of election to either reach or stay on the bench. And that number may be a little bit shocking to people who don't pay a whole lot of attention to the state courts and are sort of used to the federal model of judicial confirmation hearings and appointments. So Oregon is an example of just how heavily interest groups are weighing in. Mm-hmm. And the way in which they're weighing in and the degree to which they've been able to is really a function of the fact that Oregon is one of five states in the country that allows unlimited campaign contributions, which makes it fertile soil for special interests. We have an example of a group called the American Justice Partnership of Washington, D.C., it's just the nation's largest industry trade group, that donated $150,000 to one Supreme Court justice's campaign in a single contribution. That same candidate received a $50,000 contribution from a medical equipment manufacturer that was headquartered in Oregon for a long time, and $14,000 from Oregon Right to Life and the Oregon Family Council, which when you're talking about those kind of that kind of number and those kind of figures, what you have is it's very difficult to expect the public to sort of willfully blindfold themselves and not see that kind of money changing hands and question the impartiality of the judge when those interests and those groups or the groups that they represent end up going before the court.
And again, I think it's important to underscore that we're not talking about it's bad with Congress people, it's bad with senators, but we're talking about judges who are by law supposed to be impartial.
That's absolutely true. And the impartiality of judges is something that is so fundamental to the American values and the bedrock principles of constitutional law that the country is founded on.
And it's not an option, James. I mean, it's some people say, well, okay, well, we should be impartial, but we're not. But it's not an option as a judge.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, I want to mention before the conversation is over that one judge who's actually taken a huge, huge leadership role in terms of defending that, as you say, non-option, that is the absolute necessity of judicial impartiality, is Chief Justice Michael Wolff in the Supreme Court of Missouri. And what he has done is become perhaps the nation's most vocal advocate for the fundamental principle that judges are supposed to be impartial and are not supposed to make promises that they then end up feeling like they have to follow through on once they get elected to the bench. He has become one of the leading advocates, and maybe the leading advocate in the country, for these particular concerns. And it's something that, you know, that all Americans, and certainly Missouri citizens, regardless of, you know, their particular view of Chief Justice Wolf on the issues or his jurisprudence, should really applaud, because it is something that is a service to this country.
Just the concept of running for election is in direct. It's have both. You cannot be impartial. From my perspective, you can't be impartial and run for office, because when you run for office, you're saying what you're going to do.
Well, I don't know if I'd go quite that far. I certainly am sympathetic to the concern. It depends on how you run. If you run on your in my view anyway, if you run solely based on your experience, on your qualifications, on your reputation in the bar from those that you have worked with and with those that you have opposed, and you demonstrate a commitment to public service and a commitment to the rule of law in a state where that happens to be the only way that one can gain election or gain a seat on the bench, you know, it's important that strong candidates who believe in those principles of impartiality don't just opt out because of the system that a state may have.
Are there any states where judges run for office that limit that window of what they can say in their pursuit of these seats? Are there any states out there that say that if you're going to run, you can only run on these on the issues as you describe?
Not quite that narrowly. You know, prior to 2002, where there was a huge sea change in that regard, in 2002 when the Supreme Court decided a case called Republican Party of Minnesota v. White, most states have adopted in some form the ABA canons of judicial conduct, which up until 2002 in most states effectively prohibited candidates from stating their positions, from announcing is the word that's used in that particular clause that was at issue in that case, announcing their positions on issues that were likely to come before the court. The court struck that down as unduly restrictive of candidates' First Amendment rights. And so there's still a fair degree of ambiguity, because there are a number of other provisions that are similar but that were not expressly at issue in that case that restrict the degree to which candidates can speak out on issues. But what we have seen in practice since 2002 is that
we've seen Alabama.
We've seen that candidates, partly because they're afraid that if they don't speak out on those issues, somebody else is going to get to put on the robe, so to speak. Somebody else is going to win. And so there's this race to the bottom effect where candidates are continually pushing the line as to what's proper, and in many cases in Alabama, in my view, is a perfect example of where they've just so blatantly crossed the line that they've changed the entire character and tenor of the campaign.
Well, when we have somebody in Alabama running for the Alabama Supreme Court contending that the Alabama Supreme Court should not follow U.S. Supreme Court precedent, who challenges that? Who's the person to raise the issue that you've gone too far?
I think that the responsibility lies with everyone, and that may sound like a non-answer, but I think it is an answer. I think it lies with the responsibility is with the voters to stand up and reject that kind of tactic. The responsibility is with the opponents of those particular candidates to say, I'm not going to go there. I think that's an inappropriate tool, an inappropriate tactic, and I think it's unbecoming for the judiciary, and ultimately, even though it may serve your short-term interests, candidate who's saying it ultimately undermines the long-term interests of everyone, and everyone includes you too.
And James, where can people find get a copy of your report?
If you go to BrennanCenter.org, that's BrennanCenter, all one word, .org. The Fair Courts page on BrennanCenter.org has extensive resources in this regard, and the other one I'd recommend is a place called votingforjudges.org, which is essentially a voter guide that describes how candidates can emphasize their experience and their qualifications as opposed to the particular positions that interest groups want them to take.
James Sample, Associate Counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz. Have a great day.
You too. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, a wake-up call. We have an open hour, I believe, an open hour of discussion coming up for you next hour. You don't want to miss it. I'll be back.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Ford is capping off a week of announcements with one more, and it was a biggie. Thousands of job cuts and over a dozen plant closings. More from ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
Ford calls its restructuring plan the way forward. Auto analyst David Cole calls the latest announcement the way forward on steroids.
It's big, it's fast, and it's absolutely necessary.
A Ford executive tells ABC News it is recognition by the auto company that what it has to do faster and more of it. That means more job cuts, more plant closings, more drastic measures if Ford is even to survive. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The bottom line may be pretty bleak for Ford these days, but for the nation's economy overall, it's okay.
Overall, U.S. consumer prices and costs rose just slightly, 0.2%, not counting volatile energy and food costs. That's what the market expected, and thanks to lower gas prices, worries about inflation are easing. That, in turn, is likely to impact next week's Federal Reserve meeting. The Fed is expected to leave interest rates unchanged.
ABC's Barbara Britt in Washington. Ohio Congressman Bob Ney has just pleaded guilty to charges including making false statements and conspiracy to commit fraud. We'll bring you more details as we get them. President Bush is getting ready for a news conference. It'll be held in a little over an hour from now. He'll probably get a question or two about the Senate Armed Services Committee decision to uphold a bill that he opposes. It requires all terror suspects held here in the U.S. be treated in accordance with the Geneva Conventions. Four Republicans voted with the Democrats in favor of that bill.
I'm walking.
Astronaut Heidi Marie Piper and her colleague are conducting the third and final spacewalk of the Shuttle Atlantis mission. They're doing more work on the International Space Station, getting the new solar array radiator ready for use, and will be at it for a few more hours. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 61 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is ahead by 9. This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Two acclaimed Hollywood actors are putting aside their day jobs for a while to do some activism.
While George Clooney was asking the United Nations for help in Darfur,
how you deal with it will be your legacy.
Here in L.A., actor Don Cheadle was also speaking out about the situation in Sudan.
We will not stand idly by as innocent men, women, and children are hastened to their deaths by bombs, bullets, disease, and the weapon most relied on. Staggering indifference.
Cheadle helped deliver hundreds of postcards urging Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to sign legislation forcing state pension funds to divest from companies doing business with Sudan. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Bounty hunter Dwayne Chapman is under arrest in Hawaii. It's in connection with events over the past 3 years that may have given the man known as The Dog his reality TV show. Chapman, his son, and a partner captured a U.S. fugitive, and Mexico authorities there demanded they turn him over. The Chapmans refused. They were arrested. They posted bail but never returned to Mexico. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, two boys are recovering after a shooting last night in Hillsdale. Police say one of the victims was shot in the arm and the other was grazed in the head between 8:30 and 9 o'clock last night. They went for help in the 6300 block of St. Louis Avenue. There are no other details on the victims' ages or conditions. An appeal is expected after a Cole County judge tosses out Missouri's new voter ID law. Judge Richard Callahan sided with the opponents of the law yesterday, including St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley and St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay. They had argued that the requirement to have a photo ID at the polls would harm low-income, elderly, disabled, and minority voters. Mayor Slay calls the ruling very good news, but Governor Matt Blunt says he's disappointed and the law is a constitutionally sound way to fight voter fraud. Finally this hour, things are looking up at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. That's according to UMSL Chancellor Thomas George, who says enrollment, fundraising, and research grants are all on the increase. Despite all that good news, George says the school's budget is still an issue.
Because we want to keep the tuition as low as possible. We're a state university. And for many students, if it weren't for us, they could not get a four-year education.
Express Scripts recently moved its headquarters to the UMSL campus. George says the school is preparing for a new information technology incubator that could accommodate up to 12 companies. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by tonight's Billy Graham television special. Today's culture seems to wait at every turn to tempt our teens. Don't miss the real-life struggles of three teenagers and what made the difference for them in tonight's Billy Graham special at 8 on KMOV Channel 4. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Advil Arthritis. Westbound 70 at St. Charles Rock Road, there's an accident on the shoulder. Northbound 270 from Big Bend through Doherty Ferry, look for an accident. The center lane is blocked and traffic jams around 44. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. There are a number of ongoing construction projects throughout the day in the St. Louis regional area as well as St. Charles and the Metro East, so just use caution and slow down through the work zones. The only other thing to report is the I-70 reversible lanes are closed for maintenance and all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays, so that's just due to the final push for morning rush hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by our Advil Arthritis. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, And for Sunday, mostly sunny today, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly clear, low around 60. Saturday, partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s. And Sunday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. A chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Good news for the St. Louis area. Good news for the state of Missouri. Good news for the election coming up in November. The Jim Talent Protection Act did not pass. Or was overturned, or was thrown out. They didn't win. The voter ID bill has been thrown out, saying that mothers and fathers and grandpas and grandmas have to go get a state ID before they vote. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And what is even more repugnant about this effort to create an advantage, to cheat to win. I mean, that's what we have. We have this cheat to win worldview. This Republican Jim Talent, George Bush, cheat to win philosophy. How are you going to win an election? Let's figure out a way that we can cheat it through. Okay, one way to do that is to come up with a bill that says that people who have been voting for 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, now they have to have a state-issued ID card in order to vote. Oh, and another way we're going to cheat to win this, you have to go to a state-issued place to get your ID. But we're going to close down under Matt Blunt and Jim Talent and George Bush. We're going to close down a number of the driver's license offices, so it's going to make it difficult for you to go get it. Oh, and for those of you that don't have the means to go get a state ID, we're going to have two vans and we're going to drive around the entire state. And maybe you'll luck upon one of those vans at some time and get one of these IDs. Ridiculous, obscene, cheat to win. Who does this help? Who does it help when people who have been voting now have to have state-issued ID cards? State-issued. Not good enough for you to have your Social Security card. Nope, not good enough. You got to go get a state ID card. It's not good enough for you to have proof of where you live, who you are, with a utility bill. Not good enough. Got to go get a state ID. Not good enough for you to have a driver's license from 20 years ago. Not good enough. Your name, your picture, your address on the, not good enough. Got to go get a state ID. Not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. Who does that help? It helps one group of people. It helps one individual. That's why it was called the Jim Talent Protection Act. The Jim Talent Protection Act. That's why it was called that. Let's be clear. There's only one person, one party, one individual that benefits from this. And it looks like that particular, we've done the Missouri, half of the Missouri two-step. One step, they get rid of the Jim Talent Protection Act. The second step is to get rid of Jim Talent. Missouri two-step. Stay with me.
Celebrity voice impersonator.
Now, this is Elvis Presley, and whenever I'm taking care of business in St. Louis, I'm listening to the Sloan Ranger Show on AM 920 WGNU. As the Sloan Ranger would say, thank you. Thank you very much for listening.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Leora Daniels, and I invite you to join me every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 for good gospel music and church news on the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Start your Saturday off right with me, Leora Daniels, and the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Saturday mornings at 8:30, right here on WGNU.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
You need to schedule a bone marrow.
We'll need to perform a
urinary VMA MIBG scan. After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I had a home with no privacy. I didn't know a thing about my legacy. When I realized you were there for me, call on your name, you came, you did just what you said.
kept your word to me. For that I love you, brother. A promise is a promise in my eyes.
Welcome back. Welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. A promise is a promise is a promise. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. The International Urban Institute will be meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m., as it always does, 10-20 North Taylor. That's right, 10-20 North Taylor. Get on over to the International Urban Institute. We have a meeting tomorrow morning. We have much business to tend to. We have to involve ourselves in the politics of the world that we live in. Because if you don't do politics, politics will do you. Let me say that again. If you don't do politics, politics will do you. And so you need to get involved and come on out on Saturday. The address is 1020 North Taylor, 1020 North Taylor. The time is 9 a.m. You need to participate because we're in the process of the Missouri two-step. Halfway through the Missouri two-step. It's got a great beat. You can dance to it. The Missouri two-step. One step is to get rid of this odious Jim Talent Protection Act. Voter ID, poll tax. It is outrageous. Jim Talent is supporting a poll tax. He wants to keep people from being able to vote. Half of the Missouri two-step is to get rid of that, the Jim Talent Protection Act. The other step is to get rid of Jim Talent. Plain and simple. Bad for Missouri. 1-877-920-WGNU.
Good morning, Liz. This is Floyd.
Good morning, Floyd.
How you feel this morning?
I'm outstanding.
You know, you talk about the Jim Talent Voting Act. It's just really appalling to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really so sickening how these people get out here and support this stuff. And I think our friends up there in Jefferson City and the Joy Bushes and this man-child, Matt Blunt, will do anything.
That's
they'll
right.
They'll care for this president.
It does.
You see, that is the problem, Liz, that we need to get, like you said, we need to get a fight and fight to get rid of these clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are doing nothing to African people. We got to stop this kind of madness.
And one of the things that I wanted to just throw out just as a second, my guest this morning, Bruce Dixon, who was on the Looking Black segment, talking about how while there are challenges, I believe that confront the unions. We live in a nation where people lose their jobs for talking about unionizing businesses. That's un-American. That is absolutely un-American. And Jim Talent is part of that. There are so many things that are out there that could protect us. So many things out there that could change the quality of our lives. So many things that are out there that is about the laws that are being passed and the laws that are being pushed. Just look at this Jim Talent Protection Act. It didn't happen until right before Jim Talent was going to run for or is running for the United States Senate. It didn't happen. It didn't happen before then. And the reason why it is happening is to cheat to win. They want to cheat to win. They want to keep people from voting. The Jim Talent Protection Act has failed. But understand, you got to punish those who try to cheat their way into anything.
But you know, Liz, it's like you said, we need to exercise our vote. And it's time for us as African people to get out in record numbers and send a message to Jim Talent.
That's
we don't
right.
want him in up there.
That's right.
And that's what we got to do. And if Claire McCaffrey, your show next Tuesday, I want to hear the same thing from her.
That's
you have
right.
a good and safe weekend.
All right, you too, Floyd.
Hey, bye-bye.
All right, thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You have to connect the dots. The quality of your life is determined by the politics that exist in your community and exist in your world. There are extraordinary things that are going on. Understand that George W. Bush is asking for the ability to, when this administration picks somebody up and accuses them, not through a court, but just through words, accuses them, there's no indictment, there's no judicial overseeing, that when they pick somebody up and they accuse, they're saying we want the right to be able to torture that person. We want the right to be able to use he said, she said, she said 20 times removed hearsay evidence against that person. We don't want that person that we accuse to have access to the charges against them. We don't want them to be able to have access to attorneys. Understand what Jim Talent and this administration, what they are saying, the type of America they're saying should exist. And hold out no illusions, folks. If Jim Talent and George Bush have their way with these so-called enemies of America, trust me, they're coming for you. They're coming for you. These are extraordinarily dangerous times, and made dangerous by people like Jim Talent and this administration. Think about the things that they sit silent on. Think about the things that they speak on. How are you going to live in a nation that says that you are a democracy and you are advocating for the right to be able to beat people, to torture people, and then use that statement that comes from the beating and the torture in court? You know, if we became Nazi Germany, I didn't get the memo. So in all fairness, y'all need to shoot me the memo where things changed. In the meantime, I think folks need to engage in the Missouri two-step. Half of it is done, getting rid of the Jim Talent Protection Act. You know what the other half is? Is getting rid of somebody who would support such awful, outrageous, lawless acts. How you gonna stand silent? How you gonna wrap your arms around in support of someone? And someone that says it's okay to beat people till they're bloody and on the ground. It's okay to attach electrodes to folks' genitals. Cool with that, down with that. If it gets them to say something, we should be able to do it, and then we should be able to use it in court. So if they take a bat and beat your baby, I assure you that your baby gonna say what they want them to say. You believe in America they should be able to do that. Because trust me, the bloody bat that they're using to beat detainees with is a bloody bat that's coming after you. Make no mistake about it. Don't fool yourself. Don't tell yourself no sweet lies that it's just about them. No, it's not. No, it's not. Some things are the things that you are supposed to have no compromise on. And one of them, these are the things that define us as a nation. These are the things that define us as a nation. Betty.
Yeah, how you do?
I'm outstanding. How you do?
Oh, I'm doing very well for old girl.
All right, now.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know anything about the firing going on down at Board of Elections?
What firing?
A bunch of people I heard got fired yesterday, laid off, or whatever you want to call it.
I do not.
Well, I understand that it actually happened, and I wondered if anyone else knew, because it's funny, it happened after our case in court, you know.
Okay, Betty, you got to let people know who I'm talking to.
Well, you're talking about one of the people with the Coalition Against Abuse of Eminent Domain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we went to court, and we were talking about Mr. Bosley taking signatures off the petition.
Right.
And we didn't feel that it was right for the Board of Elections to give, you know, him that list of names.
Okay. And you filed a lawsuit. The judge ruled against you. You going to appeal that?
Oh, we're going to appeal it.
Absolutely.
We're going to try to go to the Supreme Court.
All right. You got to take those steps, because the charter of the city of St. Louis doesn't say anything about the ability that there should be an option for to go back and have the names taken off. I think you should take it. Take it to the top.
Well, I don't. Do you think a law that the Board of Election would make would supersede the state law or the Constitution?
That's the question. You got to take it up. Got to take it up.
Okay, dear.
All right, now, thank you, Betty.
Thanks.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, I'd like to address what you were saying about how the United States now is trying to use laws that the World Court in Rome is using. These are the laws that the Catholic Church used against the people that called them heretics.
Be specific. What laws are you talking about?
The laws where you don't see your accuser, you don't see the charges against you and the information against you, and they can torture you. These are things that the Catholic Church used to do. They still have houses or places where they used to torture people down in the basement of the churches. To make people declare that they were heretics by their admission that they didn't follow the guidelines of the Catholic Church.
There are people, Protestants. When you think about the history of this country, the witch hunts,
same
type of thing. That's Protestants. I mean, same thing. I think that's a fascinating comparison of history of what everything old is new again. So now we're supposed to do things that they did to heretics, that they did to witches, that you torture people, you don't let them know who their accuser is, you don't let them know what the charges are. This is what Jim Talent stands for. He's for this. That's insane.
And you can see the fruits of by what they bear from what they're doing to the public schools, the Catholic Church. During the Dark Ages, they wanted to get rid of all the books and all the knowledge, so they were the only ones that you could go to get information. And that's what they're doing to the Catholic Church is doing to the schools by the vouchers. They're trying to destroy the public schools so that the vouchers can go have people be able to pay to go to the Catholic schools.
It's really, when you look at Francis Slay, you look at what he is doing in terms of the whole charter school voucher piece, it is asking government to underwrite his particular church of choice, and this would be the Catholic Church, his church of choice, and that's unacceptable, that's un-American, and that should not and will not be done. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. I see y'all. I know y'all want to talk. We got to take a little breaky thing here. That's all right. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back at you. Holla at you. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home. You need to do that, and you need to do it at Sears. Where? 3425 Union, 3425 Union, 3425 Union, Sears, where else? Get your lawnmower, get your leaf mulcher, get on down there, pay your bill, buy something. Best customer service in the state of Missouri, Jerome Williams. When you get there, when you go there, get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Meet some of the Midwest's top psychics, healers, and vendors at a Celebration of Spirit Holistic Expo this Saturday, 10 to 6, or Sunday, 11 to 6, at the Holiday Inn, Highway 157 in Collinsville. Admission is free. For more information, call 618-236-5883. It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax. exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's what I'm talking about. My goodness. Don't forget that there is an Urban Institute meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. Be there, be there, be there, be there. Carl.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, and you? You have a fine show as usual.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Guess what we truck drivers call Missouri State?
What's that?
We call it the Misery State.
All right.
You talk to just about a lot of your truck drivers out there, and that's what we call this state. And Jim Talent, being the way that he is, I mean, it speaks for itself. This is a state of misery. That's my comment for the day.
But wait a minute, before you go off, Carl, before you go off, how do you put the end to the misery on November in November?
Oh, well, I'm going to put it out.
All right now.
All right.
All right, put an end to the misery. All right. Vote him out.
Okay.
All right now.
Okay, bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Maurice.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Just a couple of comments. One, you know, I listened to your comments about the laws that the current administration is trying to push through and how if we don't act now, you know, that it's going to come back and bite us.
That's correct.
It's a prime example of that I would say would be the RICO statute that the federal government currently uses. My understanding of that law was that it was originally designed to be used for international drug cartels,
mm-hmm.
or if that's what they want to label them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was originally used for. Never supposed to have been brought into the continental U.S. and turned inward.
That's correct.
But they use it every day. And they use it under the guise of conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime they label you as a conspiracy, that's the law that they wrap it around.
And that's the easiest way to get a conviction for somebody.
Yeah,
you don't really
the rules
have to,
are very lax
mm-hmm.
as far as what they have to prove to get a conviction with that law.
People need to be fearless and stand strong and say, no, I'm not going to let you change this, because what this means is that all you're doing is easing it, greasing the skids to make the other changes that you want to make. How do we live in a nation where we would even say out our mouths, even consider saying, I should be able to beat you bloody with a bat, use that evidence against you, what I get you to say while you've been beaten, and then not tell you what you've been charged with, and then try you without adequate access to a lawyer in a secret court that nobody else can see?
Yes, ma'am.
This is America? People are saying that out there. Jim Taylor's saying that out his mouth.
That kind of reminds me of Germany, actually back in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, my other point was that at the end of the Holocaust, when I think one of the last concentration camps that was liberated, the U.S. went in, they found a Catholic priest. He had recently deceased. And some of his last writings, and it was a quote, I'm going to try to get it accurately, but he had wrote that they came for, I think, the gays, and I didn't speak out because it didn't affect me. They came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because it didn't affect me. He said, but when they came for me, there was nobody left to speak out for me.
Mm-hmm. And they got you.
Yes.
There you go.
All right, you have a good day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, my beautiful sister. How are you?
TC, good morning.
You're fantastic, as always. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Make sure I'm straight with what's going on. Are you still on 5 days a week, 4 hours a day?
That is correct.
What happened to all those people who used to call you defending this clown administration, waving that flag, talking about supporting the truth? What happened to all those folks?
They're on embarrassment hiatus. That's where they are. They're on embarrassment hiatus. They cannot come back and defend this mess. They couldn't defend it before. They were all full up with that so-called fake patriotism, that patriotism that's born out of sports, that I'm just going to defend them blindly. It's my team. I'm not going to look at what they're doing, if they're cheating, if they're lying, if they're stealing. Nope. I'm not. It's a sports game. No, it is not.
But if you call yourself supporting the truth, that's another lie about this administration. And the people who's waving this flag. How are you supporting the troops when you go along with it's all right to abuse people, it's all right to torture other people, and sooner or later, don't you know, American military personnel will be captured and subject to the same situation that this clown administration...
This administration, Jim,
how are you supporting the troops going along with this foolishness?
Jim Talent doesn't support the troops because if you did, you wouldn't do anything to put them in harm's way. Our troops in harm's way to stand silent, to even consider to let it come out your mouth that we should be able to torture people.
And I agree wholeheartedly. And the reason is this administration, the Jim Talent, all the rest of these folks, they don't have any family in the military. Since there's a violent, and I think that if that was Charlie Rangel, I think he was right to talk about bringing back the draft. They don't care what happens.
Put
to
some skin in the game.
Soldiers.
Put some skin in.
They don't care what happens to the soldiers because they don't have anyone in the military.
No skin in the game. Thanks, TC.
Thank you always, young lady. I love you.
All right. Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number, that would be 1-877-920-WGNU. You can always email me at revolution. That's right. Revolution at LizBrown.com. L-I-Z-Z Brown. You're on the wake-up call.
What's up, Liz?
Cody, good morning.
Liz, thank you. Because you stopped the Republicans from putting that money in their pocket, that gas money in their pocket here.
All right, now.
When you told that guy how he had to do the gas price, the gas started coming down from that day one, you know. It started coming down from that day one.
Hey, Cody, got to do the Missouri two-step, don't we?
Oh, yeah, you're doing a good. Hey, I tell you, you got the hottest show on the TV.
All right.
I tell Tim Hopkins out in the county, tell him and Rodney Hubbard, thank you, God. They had to get your together to make we had a thing between the minimum wage or the gas out there and Ted Hauser told me, man, you need something to get the gas because I'm fat out of gallon. I had people come out of woodwork to get that gas off of them, you know.
All right now.
Keep it working, baby. Keep it up.
All right,
up, okay?
Cody. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up and get to me. Brother Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right now.
But I'm tripping off of how well you're doing this morning.
All right now.
You know, the only thing that accounts for that, when I know from my experience with a woman, is a new man, a new money, or both.
You need to stay out of my business. Stay out of my business. What's
my
on your mind?
My comment is basically about the new rules on torture that
mm-hmm.
GB is trying to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the listeners and those who haven't listened this week ought to refer back to your former guest who wrote the book Bush on the Couch.
That's right, Dr. Justin Frank.
And how he has a history of being a very sadistic torturer.
There you go. There you go. Tell him.
And I think that it just stands to reason.
And Brother Mac, if you don't mind, let me try to school some of the listeners that may have just joined us or didn't have an opportunity to hear Dr. Justin Frank talk about the book that he wrote, Bush on the Couch. One of the things that Dr. Frank described in his book is a history of torture-type activities, as you said. For instance, when he was 10 or 11 years old, Bush was taking firecrackers and inserting them in the rectum of frogs and blowing the frogs up. This is remarkably awful for a number of reasons. One, the age. This kind of cruelty towards animals at this particular age is a hugely troubling thing. And secondly, the idea of cruelty to animals to begin with, because when they look at serial killers, when they look at people that have engaged in crimes, one of the common things things that they have is that an ability to torture animals. And it just didn't, it didn't stop at 10. When he was in college, one of the things that, and it made the papers, the way that he was initiating plebes in his fraternity is that he would take a coat hanger, stretch it out into a long, one long thing, and insert the coat hanger in the in a flame, get it red hot, and then take the coat hanger and brand the plebe on his butt near his rectum. That cruelty. His own brother talked about how when he was 16 years old, he would take target practice at the kids in his own brothers and sister and terrorize them. This is a man that come on now. I mean, with a resume like that, you normally would be locked up someplace. Bush. Instead, he's got his finger on a button.
See, Bush is a serial killer that has never been, profiled by the FBI, as well as he's no different than the Dylan Claiborne, and the other guys that went into Columbine. He's just the one that just got away.
The Columbine gangbangers.
That's all he is. Thank you, Liz.
Thanks for your call, Brother Max. See you tomorrow. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You have to. I know it's painful. I know it makes people uncomfortable. But our responsibility as voters, as citizens, as people out here, we're supposed to be clear-eyed about the world that we live in. If this kind of information, when this type of information comes to you about an individual, your responsibility when that person is in elective office is to examine that information and act accordingly. And judge the people that he surrounds himself with. Jim Talent is next to this man. Brought him into Missouri to raise money for him. Come on now. You're supposed to evaluate Jim Talent based upon that. Who you hang out with? The guy that put firecrackers up the butt of the frogs? Okay. The answer is no in November. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I ain't done.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. The head of coalition forces in Anbar province says he does not have enough troops to overcome the insurgency there. Major General Richard Zilmer says the political and security situation in Anbar is getting bad and that only more aid and another division of troops are the only things that could change that situation. The White House has always maintained that American commanders have never requested additional troops, but they would be provided if they did. Zilmer says some political progress is being made in isolated pockets in the region, but if it came to a head-to-head battle with insurgents, more manpower would be needed. And Dateline New York. President Bush is to deliver a speech to the UN General Assembly next week. It may be the last time he talks to them with a majority of friendly nations on the Security Council. It appears that Venezuela will secure a position on that council, even though the U.S. and Ambassador John Bolton have been pressing hard to get Guatemala in that spot. But Guatemala has one of the worst human rights records in Latin America, plus the fact that Bolton's in-your-face attitude has turned off a number of countries that might have considered what America wanted. If the U.S. and its Latin American allies can't come to a consensus on the issue by October 16th, it will be thrown open to the General Assembly, where Venezuela is sure to get the nod because of support from China and Russia. The U.S. has reportedly threatened Haiti and the Dominican Republic to vote the right way or run the risk of losing U.S. economic aid. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
This is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. A struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. I'm not worried.
You won't find no one else like me. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. We have much to talk about. Oh, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. It's about that time. You hear the drums? The drums always mean something. Always mean something. This time it's good news. It's good news. That's right, getting ready to do that little thing we do on Friday, getting ready to turn the big barrel here in the studio to decide who's going to be the winner of the Liz Brown Because We Care package. Let me see. Who's going to be the winner? Who is going to be the one of the lucky winners? They might even end up with one of those George Bush doesn't care about black folks t-shirt up in there. Huh? Think so, Howard? Think they deserve that? Think we ought to throw one of those up in there? Oh, all right now. Andrew McAllister, congratulations. You are this week's winner of the Liz Brown Because We Care package. Congratulations. And we will be contacting you. Congratulations, and that's okay. You didn't get it this week. You'll get it next week. At least you get an opportunity next week. So try again. Try again. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about, so much business to tend to. Understand the Gem Talent Protection Act was eliminated yesterday when the court said, you know what? Y'all trying to force people to get state IDs, get your papers in order to vote, keeping grandmas and grandpas and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters from being able to vote in this November election. You know what? In a word, Howard, no. The Gem Talent Protection Act did not pass. The Gem Talent Protection Act, what was it? It was an attempt to cheat your way into re-election. That's right. Cheat your way into it. How do you do that? You keep people from voting in a close election when the people cannot vote. Your wicked, twisted mathematics says, I win. How un-American is that? How un-American is that? Jim Talent should be up there pushing some kind of law that says we should vote on Saturday. Saturday and Sunday. Make it possible for everybody in the world to vote. Jim Challenge should be paying for the means that there's voter registration at every grocery store, every highway stop, every highway byway in the state of Missouri that you could register to vote. Oh, no. The actions of the Jim Challenge Protection Act is that, you know what? No. No, y'all shouldn't be able to vote. Well, that didn't work out for them because the courts threw it out and said, yes, you can vote. You've been voting for 30 years. Why on earth would you have to go pay money to get some kind of ID card? I don't mean pay directly. Pay to get your birth certificate changed. Pay to go down there and pick up your so-called free ID. Come on, we live in America. We know ain't nothing for free. Ain't nothing for free. Old enough and wise enough to know ain't nothing free. And so, Missouri, come on now. Half of the Missouri two-step got the Jim Talent Protection Act eliminated. The next step in the Missouri two-step is to eliminate Jim Talent. I know you know that. Be that, do that. Willie.
Yes.
Good morning.
Thank you, Liz, for that pillar of information that you're constantly bringing to your show. I noticed yesterday that there was a call at the end of your show, and he was talking about the Twin Towers, and I'm pretty sure he is still listening today.
Can't help it.
Did he know that Marvin Bush, the president's brother, was over the security of the Twin Towers, which expired?
How'd that work out for America?
Uh-huh.
How'd that work out for America?
Yeah. I mean,
whenever you put a Bush in charge,
because Bush is the only one that profited. Like the Romans said, who gains from this?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bush administration was the only one that gained from those Twin Towers coming down. And the point I was trying to make here, Liz, was the Bush family period, their legacy from Prescott Bush, who financed got caught with Brown Brothers Banking, got caught financing Adolf Hitler. Now here we have George Bush implementing everything out of the Third Reich's handbook. He is doing it. He's calling it. He's trying to be slick, but the discernment to see straight through what he's doing. And as far as how he treats people of color, we saw what he did with Katrina. We know how he operates when it comes to people like us. So when you have these clones walking around here like Jim Talent, you can see how he feels, the good old boy syndrome trying to come back alive, resurrect in our country.
Absolutely.
But here's the biggest trick of all. For those who think you're in a good old boy club, this group of people don't care anything about you either. They're going to ride you clean on into their destination, and then they're going to kick you out.
Let me just ask this question. Would a man who shot his friend and in the heart and in the face, who didn't apologize until made to, and then he ended up making his friend apologize for being in the way of the bullets.
I was watching a script out of The Godfather or something. When I
no, even that, The Godfather didn't make them apologize for it. No, even The Godfather. Even The Godfather didn't make the victim apologize for getting in the way of the bullet. Come on now.
So
okay? Thanks for your call, Willie. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Jim.
Hello there.
Good morning.
Did you read the Post Dispatch this morning?
What part of it?
Page A4, the very last sentence.
Read it for us.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to do that. I got the paper right in
front
of me.
Okay, well, tell me what it says.
It's a short paragraph. It says, you know, that they were voting on the border fence,
mm-hmm.
the House.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the House Administration Committee approved a bill to make states to ask for photo identification from voters by November 2008.
And that's something.
And proof of citizenship by 2010. Now watch this. The full House could take up this vote as early as next week.
They want to get it any way that they can. Now, let me see. What's happening in 2008, Jim?
Oh, let's see. 2008 is the election.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. They want to cheat to win.
Mind that this is just one state that we won so far.
That's right. That's right. It's got to stay on the game. You're right, Jim.
Stay in there.
All right now. Thanks for your call. Have a great weekend. 1-877-920-WGNU. Mac.
Good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
Outstanding. How are you?
This old voter ID thing that Talis came up with.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was based on keeping you know, older people away from the poll, because if you could keep the older people away from the poll with the turnout of the younger people that do have ID, I think it would be a disaster.
But actually, Mac, what it does is it kept younger people away from the polls, too.
Well, because, yes, it would. And
keeps its significant college students away from the polls.
Right.
It was a double whammy. They wanted to keep younger voters away from the polls. I mean, how often are you able to come up with a strategy that gets both ends of the spectrum? Keeping younger people and older people away from the polls.
When is America going to get tired of rights being snatched out from under them? You think America...
Come November. Come November. There you go. We have an opportunity.
November.
All right.
Right.
Now, there you go.
I'll be there.
All right now.
Okay.
Thanks, Mac. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. Please don't forget that. Tomorrow, International Urban Institute will be doing its thing. You need to come on down to 1020 North Taylor. That is the Firefighters Institute for Racial Equality. That's right. They open their arms, open their house, open their place to us every Saturday morning. We have a place to gather. We have a place to do our business. Let's get some more business done. The International Urban Institute. You want to know more? You need to come on down to 1020 North Taylor. 1020 North Taylor. The time is 9 a.m. I will see you tomorrow. And until I talk to you, until I get in your ear on Monday, until then, stay strong.
News for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man.